All right, we are back here on The Drive on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio, the Capital Region's home for New York sports. Dan and Mike with you here on this Thursday. Thanks for joining us. Mike, as soon as I was kind of going back and diving into the information with the crazy day with the Buffalo Bills, the amount of roster moves that they were making, freeing up some cap space, and really, you know, kind of turning a new page on a good portion of their roster, one name came to mind, and that is Sal Capaccio, because we catch up with Sal. We're very lucky to do that during the course of the Buffalo Bills season. He is the Bills beat and sideline reporter with WGR Sports Radio 550 in Buffalo, the host of the Extra Point Show from 10 to noon, and a good friend of The Drive. Sal, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm great, guys. Great to catch up with you again. Hope everything is well.
Yes, yeah, great to have you on the program. Always appreciate the time, especially coming off of such a wild day in Bills land. So if you can, take us through the last 24, 48 hours covering this team and being so closely connected to the Bills community. What were the last couple of days like?
So I am not even like trying to be, you know, hyperbolic, and it might sound that way when I say something like this, but the bottom line is this was a historic day in franchise history.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm even, when I say historic, like, these are pillars of this team, and they've been around for a long time for a lot of success. And it was really even to the point of people comparing to me over the last 24 hours, when they found out on the same day the Bills released Thurman Thomas, Bruce Smith, and Andre Reed. Guys. I mean, that's how big this was
wow.
for Bills fans.
Okay.
And I understand this is not apples to apples. This group has not been to a Super Bowl. They haven't won a Lombardi, right? I mean, I know those guys didn't, but they went to four Super Bowls. So I get it. Those are Hall of Famers. But you want to talk about the kind of the way it hit Bills fans? That's the way it hit Bills fans yesterday.
White, Poyer, and Hyde were all 7 years with the Bills and all gone
yeah.
within. I know Hyde was gone for a while, but are there any players that come to mind when it comes to stepping up in absence of all these guys that were just released?
So I think what's going to happen is, first of all, we know Taylor Rapp has been signed,
sure.
re-signed to play mm-hmm. safety. So he's a guy I think that you're going to look at to be a starter. He's got, you know, about starter money. He's going to get a little less than $5 million a year. That's starter money. And he did have to fill and be their third guy last year pretty much.
Yep.
Cam Lewis is a pending free agent. I like Cam Lewis a lot. I think they'll try to re-sign him. I don't think it'll cost a lot of money. That'll be the case. But guys, I mean, they already have the replacements of Tre'Davious White. Tre'Davious White didn't play mostly last year.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Rasul Douglas was traded for at the trade deadline, and he was sensational. And he's under contract for another year. And Christian Benford had a great year as the second corner.
Mm.
You know, so those are guys that are going to be starting. Now, behind them, I still think they like their depth, but now you have no Tre'Davious White. But I think this is a lot about Kyrie Elam, too. Do they really believe Kyrie Elam can take that step and become the player they thought he would when they drafted him in the first round a couple years ago? Largely, so far, that hasn't been the case. So that'll be interesting. Dane Jackson is a pending free agent. They really like him.
Yep.
I don't think it'll cost too much to get him back, but he might get an offer like Levi Wallace did a couple years ago to go somewhere else. Speaking of Levi Wallace, he's an unrestricted free agent. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe you bring him back if you have to. So they I think they're very confident what they have, you know, behind these guys and what they did for. Now, I think the one shakeup is at center, Mitch Morse. No one really expected that once they traded Ryan Bates. He was his backup.
Yeah.
Now you've traded you released your starting center and traded your second string center. So what I've learned is the plan is for Connor McGovern to go from guard to center. He'll start at center next year. And David Edwards, who they re-signed, will start at guard. David Edwards started at guard for the Rams and they won a Super Bowl. So it's not like you can't do it, but that'll be a shakeup for sure.
Wow. So out of the players that we've talked about so far, were any of them particularly surprising to you? Or given that depth that we just talked about, do all of these moves kind of make sense when you've looked at the landscape of this group?
Look, I mean, the moves make sense from a financial standpoint, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they had to do this. They were over $40 million over the cap as of a couple of days ago. And what's wild is they're still over the cap.
Yeah.
That's how much cleaning they had to do here. They're going to most likely restructure Josh Allen's contract. That will get them under the cap and will give them a little bit of operating room. What fans have to remember is the Tre'Davious White release doesn't even do anything until June 1st. They have to carry the entire cap charge. They get $10 million cap relief, guys. That doesn't happen until June 1st. Mm. By then, all of their cap space, all of the free agents are pretty much, you know, signed. So
yeah.
You're not going to use that. What you're going to use that for is to sign your draft class. You're going to need a little extra money to do that, like $4 million probably. And then there's going to be a few guys here or there. Like last year, Leonard Floyd, Puna Ford, you know, guys like that who come in and say, okay, well, we can, you know, maybe grab a guy who's been waiting around looking for a job. Maybe there's a trade you can make in July or August. An injury happens, you got an injury replacement. They'll have some money there. But this was necessary to do all of that stuff. And then mm-hmm. maybe more than all of the releases, maybe the most significant thing that happened financially was Von Miller took a straight pay cut yesterday.
Right.
Yeah. Von Miller went from $17 million to $8 million, essentially. Like, whatever it is, they're saving $8 million on the cap this year. Now, he has a chance to get all of that back, but the only way he does it is through production and incentives, and that's great for both teams, obviously. Both sides, obviously.
Right, yeah, very much the case. Interesting.
Yeah, was yesterday, when it comes to the cuts and when it comes to the restructures, was that all we're going to see from Buffalo, or do you think there's going to be some more cap casualties for this team?
I do think there could be more cap casualties. We'll see. It felt like yesterday was the day they wanted to get the big names out there and kind of rip the Band-Aid off all at once if we're going to do it to kind of the sticker shock for everybody. You don't have to go through a traumatizing few days of this. you do it one time. But sure, there could be some guys. And now they're going to be lower-level names if that's the case. Whoever they are, I don't know. I just did the roster today. They have 50 guys under contract right now heading into the new league year. They'll be under contract in 2024. You're allowed 90. They're down to 19 unrestricted free agents. Some of those guys you're going to want to get back. We'll see what they want to do. As far as restructures, yes, Josh Allen is most likely going to get restructured. That's going to happen. Brandon Beaton basically told us at the Combine, he said, you'd love to not have to do that 1 year, but the fact is you got to keep kind of doing it until you get things under control.
Yeah.
So we'll see that. Now, I also wonder, I think they could extend Deion Dawkins because he's going into last year, he played well, and you could lower his cap hit by doing that, by moving the money around.
Mm.
I wonder if they could extend, and they do extend Taron Johnson, same thing. He's still not 30 years old. He's still playing at a high level at slot corner. Add a couple years onto his deal, move the money around. I think those are the ways you could wind up doing it.
Okay. Interesting. A lot of different moves to be made. The voice you're hearing, that of Sal Capaccio, very good friend of The Drive, Bills beat and sideline reporter, as well as the host of the Extra Point Show. Follow him on Twitter at Sal Sports. It sets up now heading into an offseason where, like we've alluded to a number of times, there's a lot of business to be done internally. Then you look externally, Sal, and there are a number of different options from the top to the bottom of the skill scale. So when you look at free agency, do you see the Bills being major players, and are there any spots in the roster that you would expect them to address externally?
Guys, they're gonna add at wide receiver one way or the other here.
Okay.
The question is, does it come in the form of free agency or the draft? That's their number one focus, I think, based on everything we hear, everything we see. Look at the roster. We know that. We hear them talk about explosive plays, needing those. And we also know that they met with a lot of wide receivers at the Combine, more than any other team met with wide receivers. The Buffalo Bills did. That's going to happen. The question is, do they spend whatever money they can come up with in free agency to try and get somebody they really are targeting and kind of figure out how to do the financials? Or do they take what is now 11 draft picks, which is really, really good capital, and either A, grab a few of them, or B, maybe move around the board, or even make a pretty significant move up if they wanted to with some of this draft capital to try and go get somebody they really like? It's a deep wide receiver class, as you know. So that is the one area that everyone's expecting them to target. They will. They're also going to have to replenish the defensive tackle position, interior defensive line. I just told you they have 50 guys under contract. Two of them are defensive tackles. That's it. So, and one's at Oliver and one's Elianku, he's a practice squad guy. So essentially they have one regular defensive tackle under contract right now. That's an area they're going to have to address.
Sal, from being at the Combine, were there any names at wide receiver that you were hearing linked to the Bills, or any names of wide receiver that you heard climbing up boards? I know Xavier Worthy had a really good combine. He might sneak into the first round. Any names you're hearing linked to Buffalo?
Yeah, I think fans really like a guy like Brian Thomas at 28, right, from LSU. That's a guy, maybe you can get him at 28, maybe you can't. We'll see what, it depends on what other teams like him or not. I think that's a guy that really fits kind of what the Bills are looking for. There's a lot of, hey, you can get Keon Coleman, but I don't know if he's exactly what the Bills want. Keon Coleman's a contested catch guy. Now, maybe he had a really nice, gauntlet drill, but he doesn't run very fast, and that's not explosive plays. The Bills seem to want that. Troy Franklin, to me, is a guy that kind of fits what the Bills want. You can get him at 28, even maybe after that. The guy I think that's moving up the draft board, the guy I'm warming up to, is actually Ladd McConkey. I think Ladd McConkey is kind of a little bit of exact. He's pretty much what the Bills do want. The problem there would be, Khalil Shakir had a really nice year at the slot last year, right? And, you're not moving off him in the slot. So I do think there's a few guys here. And Xavier Leggett would be a really nice get for the Bills. Go read his backstory. I mean, literally, it is straight out of the Buffalo Bills bio. The guy that fits their DNA.
Yeah.
Xavier Leggett, go read about him, and you would see why I say that. But yeah, I mean, you think about Worthy and Mitchell and the speed guys. Those are all guys in play, I think.
Okay, we are up against a commercial break, so we are going to take it now. We're on the phone right now with Sal Capaccio, Bills beat and sideline reporter for WGR Sports Radio 550 in Buffalo. He's the host of the Extra Point Show. We're talking Buffalo Bills in their offseason right now with him. We'll keep him on the line. We'll be back with more with Sal right after this. But first, folks, you are not going to believe how beautiful the new Mohawk Honda dealership is. Soaring ceilings, a spacious showroom, and observatory deck, luxurious couches for your comfort, and much, much more. They are putting the finishing touches on the dealership right now, but make no mistake, they are open for business and the lot is full. General Manager Greg Johnson and his team are also celebrating being awarded the 2023 President's Award Elite status. Only 10 Honda dealerships in the country win this prestigious award, and they couldn't have done it without the loyalty and patronage of their amazing customers. The Harridan family would like to say thank you to everyone they do business with. And folks, spring is a great time to prepare your vehicle for summer road trips. If you're getting ready for one of those, you need to make sure you do all of this: tire rotation, oil changes, wiper replacement. If you take care of your Honda, it will take care of you. Accords, Pilots, Odysseys, CRVs, take your pick from the trusted makes and models at Mohawk Honda. And as always, get top dollar for your trade-in, because the time is now to deal. The weather is warming up, and so are the opportunities for new and pre-owned vehicle sales. The finishing touches are happening at the new and beautiful Mohawk Honda on Freeman's Bridge Road in Glenville. So come in and see for yourself, where they always go out of their way to please you. More of The Drive is coming up next with Sal Capaccio here on the team.